Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moe. This is the Paisley Arcade. Look around you. Feast your eyes. Well, that's the mental mind anyway. Look around you. What do you see? Isn't it delicious? Isn't it lovely? I hope so. I hope you like it. I hope you are enjoying yourself. Hope you're having a good day. And what day is it? Why, today is the 26th of March, 2025. 26th of March. We're almost at the end of the third month of the third month. Well, that's good enough. Just God almighty. Yeah, I try to get fancy. What did that get me? Nothing. Nada. Nothing there. So how are you? I hope you're doing all right. I hope you're doing okay. Yes, the world is getting stranger all the time. And far be it from me to try and make sense of it. I try. The craziest thing to me about any of this is the realization that, quite frankly, nothing makes sense to me, but to other people, they say, oh, everything's fine. Oh, Mo, no, nothing is weird. Everything is as it should be. Oh, Mo, everything is as it should be. Yes, it is. It's so fine and dandy, and everything is very cool, and I'll really think everything's okay. Okay, fine. If that's how you feel. If that's how you feel about it, well then, more power to you. Excellent. Alrighty then. Then have fun and be filled with glee and whatever else makes you feel that way, because it ain't that way to me, that's for sure. I see it as all very bizarre, but that's okay. Then again, maybe I pay too close attention. Are you paying attention, Mo? Oh, Mo's paying attention. No. All right. Yeah, it's just one of those things. What are you going to do? What are you going to do next, he said. I don't know. I don't think it matters. So, in the long term, it does, sure. You know, I could just sit here and wax philosophic. But I don't have any wax with me. I used to wax my moustache. It's actually a mo-stache, but that's a different story. And that was a pain. It was like, oh, always having to, you know, look at it in the mirror. And because I didn't use a strong enough wax. Now they make very strong waxes. You set them once in the morning and, you know, that's about it. You don't have to worry about it much. Nope, not in my day. That looked pretty cheesy, I think. I tried to make it like, oh, that doesn't look really cheesy, but I think it looked pretty ratty. Really do. Ah, vanity. Vanity, what a thing that is. Vanity. Are you familiar with the seven deadly sins? I studied them for a while. I really enjoyed them. I remembered them my pal ages. The pals of the ages, their pride, avarice, lasciviousness, anger, gluttony, envy and sloth. And of course, there are different words for them. For example, anger is actually ire. And, you know, they go back to the old Latin. So, but they're fun stuff, and they're like demons associated with everyone, or devils associated with everyone. For example, anger is Satan.
Satan?
And, yeah, pride is Lucifer, which means bearer of light. Back in Paradise Lost, if you want to get a good idea as to old Lucifer, read Paradise Lost by John Milton. But you must read it out loud to really get the full flavor of it. My first year of college was in California. And Dick Maxwell, what a great teacher he was. Holy mackerel, he was splendid. And he taught me, he taught all of us, not just me, but he certainly did me a lot of good. And he taught us to read Paradise Lost out loud. So I'd be in my room at night reading Paradise Lost out loud. And wow, is that something? Because it's meant to be read that way. And boy, howdy, what an education that was. That was the year I also did some reading for the blind. A friend of mine named Brian, he was a reader for the blind. And he said, "You want to do that with me?" I said, "Absolutely." So we went, and that was very cool. And so I don't even remember the book I read out of, because that was 50 years ago. Over 50 years ago. But I remember that every word had to be exact. And somewhere out there, there's a book with my voice on it still, I'm guessing, because he said they kept them for decades. And there's reel to reel. And it was wonderful. And, you know, it's all volunteer. And he did some reading, and I checked him, and I did some reading, and he did it every day. Almost. He was a nice guy, Brian. It was quite a year for me. It was a year of discovery in oh so many ways. Awakening in oh so many ways. Yeah, it really was. Right out of high school and into college, and into meeting people that I'd never met the likes of before. A lot of Vietnam vets who were just literally right out of the jungle, a lot of them. I met two or three guys who had jungle rot. Horrible, horrible, horrible disease. I met some pretty complicated people. Very interesting people. And met a lot of deadheads who were actually friends of the band members and roadies, and met a lot of people who were close friends of Jefferson Airplane, because it was the Bay Area. You know, it was really kind of a fascinating time. Met all sorts of weird, and I think weird is acceptable here. It was a really wonderful year for me. I went to a school called Foothills Junior College, which was gorgeous. Gorgeous in Los Altos Hills with redwood buildings, little buildings, that supposedly was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what we were told. We were the owls. It was just fantastic. And had my first year of college there. It was just wonderful. My dad was on sabbatical that year at Stanford. And once a week he'd go to Berkeley, and I'd tag along with him sometimes if I didn't have class or if I just didn't want to go to class. And hang out at Berkeley, which was always, always interesting. Berserkly, as it was called. I had a friend of mine who had gone to Stanford for the first year of college, and I lived on Stanford campus because that's where my dad and we ended up, and he didn't want to see me, and he wasn't that good a friend, mind you. He and I had been kind of, adversarial since kindergarten, so I didn't feel too bad about it. But I don't understand that sort of energy at all. I just don't get it. Yeah, my feelings were hurt a little bit. He's like, oh, well, you're here. That's fine. If I run into you at the coffee shop, I'll say hello. And I said, I won't. what can you do? But what a year that was for me. Wow, that, and the campus was so much nicer than anything he got to see. It's beautiful, botanically and hanging gardens. I mean, it was just a lovely place. I haven't been there since I went there. But boy, I sure liked going there. Life can be really, oh man, it just opens up. Life is a wonderful experience. And it bothers me when I know people give up on it. And they do it for all the strangest reasons. I know they do it and they mean it and they give up on it. People give up on life. Don't give up on life. Please, don't give up on life. Don't give up on life for politics, for goodness sake. Holy mackerel. That's the worst reason in the world to give up on life. Don't give up on life because you're depressed about love. There are like 8 billion plus people on this planet. I guarantee you there is someone out there to love you. Don't give up on love. There's a lot of love in the world. Don't give up because you think you're not going to find romantic love. There's a lot of romantic love in the world. Don't give up because you think mankind is not worth it. I guarantee you mankind is worth it. Don't give up. Don't give up on life. Life is pretty far out. Don't give up because people like me use terms like far out. I haven't used groovy in a long time. I don't think I ever really used groovy. I always found that to be kind of, that was never my thing. I don't think I ever really used right on much either, but far out I liked, you know. Especially at certain times you go, far out, man. Yeah. One of the things I'd like to talk about today is I became fascinated over the past couple of days with the Magus card, the magician, the Magus. And it's because I've kind of developed a renewed interest in some major arcana cards, looking at them again from a new eye rather than the jaundiced eye I've had for so many years. And I don't mean jaundiced, really, but just when you've worked with tarot as long as I've worked with it. About 60 years now. And always with an immense amount of respect and awe. But you think, oh, well, I need to take some time, and I've taken some time, but I'm looking back at it and have made some new discoveries in the Crowley deck that have astounded me again. I put it away because I really had been burned out on it after so many years of flogging myself, 45 years of working with that deck and trying to crack the code, and actually having pretty much kind of cracked the code. And now I've discovered that there was more to crack. And I don't know how far I'm going to go with it. I mean, people have tried off and on to coerce me or, you know, convince me that, oh, you should write a book about that. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think I have the attention span for something like that. Somewhere to plop down some, you know, hard cash, I might actually be able to get it done. Because then you're kind of, okay, I have to do it now. But other than that, I don't know. You know, they write the book and then try and sell it. Right, that works. But, I have some theories about the Major Arcana in his tarot, which also gives incredible guidance as to magic and how to perform it properly. And it's in there. It's just you have to kind of figure it out. And I think I have. But that's a different story, neither time nor space. But I want to talk about the magician a little bit, because I think the magician gives us all a really good way to live our lives better. It's about attitude. It's about the mind. The magician is about intellect. It's ruled by Mercury, the planet Mercury. And not the car, not the Ford Mercury. That would be silly. Did you know Henry Ford was a massive anti-Semite? Did you know that? Did you know that he actually was a huge backer of... Well, let's not get into that. It just happens to be true. I'm not making that up. He actually was a huge anti-Semite. And that was just a lot of people. Charles Lindbergh was. Lucky Lindy. It just happens that sometimes very famous people who do big things in life have some kind of wacky ideas. That's just how it goes. You know, so the man who invented the assembly line. And the Model T. The Model A. See, that's what bothers me about human beings. That's what bothers me. Is that we can do some pretty amazing things and yet do some pretty ridiculous things at the same time. But that's being human. That's what humans are, I guess. I guess. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. And so we have to really be able to alchemically purify things. And that's what ad men do. That's what PR companies do. They purify things. They sterilize them as best as possible. Asbestos? Oh, that's there too. So I really think that the magus for us is a very important concept. Because what it deals with is this concept of Mercury, but it deals with our minds and our attitudes. And it deals with this concept of what is magic. What is magic? Magic is very much so how we live our lives. Have you ever stopped to wonder what makes some people so incredibly able to do one thing and not another? And I think sometimes it's purely attitudinal. Attitudinal. For example, I have attitude about a lot of things. I have aptitude, natural aptitude in lots of stuff, and a lack of aptitude in so much more. There are very few things that I can do, I consider, that I can do well. And there are about a zillion things that I can't do well. The real world is not my bailiwick. Bailiwick. It's not. I'm not so hot at real world things. I'm just not. It has never been where I feel the most comfortable doing real world things. I am comfortable in the world that I understand, when there's not much that I do understand. But the world of metaphysics, that little strange world of mine that I live in, makes a lot of sense to me. I get it. The world of Hermeticism makes a heck of a lot of sense to me. I get it. When we talk about prime numbers and the meanings behind those prime numbers and the gematria behind those prime numbers and relating those prime numbers to words and so on and so forth. Well, I get that. Symbolism. Well, I really get that. And when you look at cards and you look at charts and you begin to look at some of the attributes in the real world, or if you cast the I Ching, or if you do, and I get that. When the universe is trying to speak to us, and it's tapping us on the shoulder, and we're not paying attention, so it maybe thunks us on the back of the head, like that. Hope that wasn't too harsh. Sorry about that. I get that. And it's done that to me so many times. So many times. Thunk. Big thunk. Songs come to me. Not exactly in the earworm way, but songs come to me. And they're oracular. They're oracles. And the one that came to me today was I Can See Clearly Now. You know. And it took me a while to realize that I was listening to it in my head. They come to me in that way. Sometimes I hear a song and I know, oh crap, I don't want to hear this song, I don't want to listen to it. But it's there, and it plays over and over again until I pay attention to it. And it was, you know, the Jimmy Cliff song, right? You know, it's going to be a bright, shiny day. And I was listening to it, and I thought, well, that's really good. I wasn't particularly in a bright, shiny moment or in a great mood. It was just the song was there. And it was cheery, and it was upbeat, and there hadn't been any music playing before, but it was there, and it was really going. Isn't that funny? I just had a thought. I wonder why the Grateful Dead never did play that song. Because that's kind of right up their alley when you think about it. And I just wonder why they didn't. Maybe they couldn't get the rights. Maybe it just wasn't right there for them. Maybe they didn't see Bright Shiny. I don't know. But anyway, it was playing in my head and I thought, oh man, I hope this is true. Not, you know, things are a little worrisome in life from now and then, you know, every now and then. But that would be wonderful. But I hear music. I hear songs. They come and they go. And some songs, when they come up, I know something's coming. And without exception, it does come. So I've learned to accept that. See, the truth is very important to the Magus. Not that the Magus tells the truth, because Mercury deceives, not the planet, but the deity. See, we have to remember that. There is a deceptive note to that deity. It goes back and forth and back and forth, and that goes back and forth with the truth. The truth is not as important to Mercury or Eros, if you will. That's one name for him. Hermes is another. Because it's intellect. And intellect can lie to any of us at any time. Our own minds lie to us, wanting us to believe one thing when in fact, look at optical illusions, right? Very much so. So what we have to remember is that we have to always be alert to our own thoughts, to the thoughts of others, to the words of others. It's very important that we pay attention to what's going on around us and try not to judge as much as we think we need to judge. I'm a pretty non-judgmental guy. I'm amazed at how often people judge. Because I frankly try not to. It's not that I try not to, I just don't. When I'm maligned, or something doesn't go right, and I realize it's because people haven't treated me right, and often I have not been treated right in the past. In the past. And so I think that I'm justified in saying, well, I wasn't treated properly. And I always try and go back and say, well, what did I do wrong? And what I did wrong was trust. I trusted. I'm a trusting sort of fellow. And I don't see that there's too much wrong with that, except you get a boot in the butt. See? Or a gut. Boot in the butt or the gut. I guess I'm a nut. What are you going to do? But I would rather be that way, I suppose, than to be overly cynical. I can be cynical. I can be. I suppose I have been. But the key is to understand that that hermetic part of us that looks at things, hermeticism, can be very complicated. And as a matter of fact, it loves complexities. The hermetic mind is a symbolic mind. And it loves to complicate things and turn them into something that they don't necessarily have to be. Why? Because over the years, we learn not to trust. We learn not to trust because trusting and being open can lead to being persecuted. Now, when I was a kid in school, I used to get beat up because I had kind of a big mouth. I was a wise guy. I had a big mouth. And I would say what came to mind. And things that came to mind often were sarcastic. They were funny, I will say that. And so if there was a kid who decided to say something sarcastic to me that was snarky, I would come back with something that was usually funnier and perhaps more hurtful to the person. Or the person didn't realize that what I was saying was indeed going to be extremely cutting and that other people would laugh at that kid. Now, eventually I learned that what I had to do was shut up. Either shut up or say it in such a way that it wouldn't be realized for a while. That I could say something in an underhanded way, not underhanded, and what's the word? Just kind of a, you know, perhaps double entendre, whatever the case was. And so everyone would know what I was saying, but they would be afraid to say anything about it. They'd even be afraid to laugh because the kid was a bully, but I'd still get my lick in. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I had a big mouth, as you know, you're listening to this. Why? God bless you. But the point is that that's part of the hermetic mind. So one of the things that these magi represent are comics, right? The funnier, the more clever, the more hermetic it is, you see? So a story like the emperor, the naked emperor, the emperor's new clothes, that's very much a story of the magus. It's funny, it's wry, it talks about the stupidity of power. That this guy is so stupid that he doesn't realize he's naked. And the tailor, who, you know, gives him this incredibly expensive clothing that is absolutely nothing, it's just he's naked, that's the same type of thought. So it's interesting that the magus can be that sort of energy, you know, clever. It's cleverness. Cleverness. That's right. Now, Thoth is associated with that, the ancient Egyptian ibis god, baboon god. Tuti. In Egypt today, they still call some kid who's very, very clever. Sometimes he'll get the nickname Tuti. They'll call him that. After thousands of years, they'll still call him Tuti. And I don't think they even really know why, but it's just usually given to some kid who's extremely clever. Tuti. You know. And I think that's amazing. Someone who's clever and has a wit, a very sharp wit, and has the ability to do that. Now, it can go way afar. It can become a problem. I had a dear uncle who was Tuti when he was young, and still, he was funny, God almighty. But it got out of control with him. It got out of control. No stories about that uncle. Because it really did get out of control. didn't serve him in the long run. That's another side of the Magus, or a Magi. Aleister Crowley found that out. And that was, if it goes to your head, the things that can happen to you. And I don't mean just in magic, I mean just in life. If you try and live that life, if you try and live only by your wits, and you think yourself smarter than, better than, sharper than, eventually you're going to pay a real price for that. It happens. You can't be that person all the time forever and not eventually be taken down. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Because oftentimes those people lack humility. And so there's one of the lessons of the Magus as well. You have to have humility. And true humility is simply the realization that we are no better than, and really no worse than, anybody else, that we are peers. You know, there are a lot of people who think they're better than other people. Phew. All you have to do is watch the news. Watch the news and you will see that there are a lot of people who think they're better than other people. And truth be known, they're not better than. They may be in a better position. They may have a lot more money than. I've been a reader for a long time. A long time. And I have met people who genuinely believed that they were better than me. And honestly, I never bought it. They certainly had a lot more money. I read for the wife of one of the richest men on the planet. And I didn't envy his life at all, nor hers for that matter. Because they were not even close to being happy. Not even an iota to being happy. And not that close. And they had things, you wouldn't believe the things that they've done. She told me about something that, you know, a birthday party he threw for her. And I had to look it up to see if it was true. Every word she told me was true. I looked it up. And it was true. And I was flabbergasted that that kind of money existed, that people could do those things. You know, and country estates and all this stuff. And you just think, and yet the level of happiness was missing. The level of happiness that I have was unattainable to them. And yet, we're talking one of the richest persons on the planet. Yeah? So, And in their world, they're very clever and very good at what they do. But if being in life isn't one of the things that they're good at, and being happy in life, then what good is it? I'm just saying. I'm beads, running beads. You're hearing a sound. Just so you know what it is, so you don't think, what is that sound with Mo? Did he eat the wrong thing? No. These are beads my mother gave me, and I restrung them. So. My dear mother. Yeah, she was very clever. But her mind worked against her. And we can do that too. When our Magus is uncontrollable, that's a good way to put it. She had a gift. She had a psychic gift that was really strong, but she didn't control it. She didn't use a tool. It's strong in my family on both sides. But I always chose to use tools. Be that tool, the tarot, or whatever it is. And I think that that's why I go that way. A lot of people don't, of course. They just go with intuition, which is fine. The magus within us is our intellect and our subconscious and our conscious mind and our id and our ego. It's everything put together, and it hops around. In ancient Egyptian philosophy, it would be different things at different times. You know, they had the ka, which was life force energy. I don't believe that would be although it was capable of magic, I don't think the ka would necessarily be lumped in there with that. But more the ba, which was our personality, but not in living necessarily. Maybe. I'd have to think about that for a while. The ka was very powerful and capable of great magic, but also capable of great destruction because it had an immense amount of power. I have to think about these things for a while now. I didn't decide to go into the Egyptian. The Egyptian philosophical aspect of things was quite fascinating. They really thought these things through. And I think they were pretty right on about a lot of it. They had the luminous shell known as the Hu. And the Hu, you know, Carlos Castaneda, when he met Don Juan, the Yaqui Indian shaman, he described the Hu pretty well, but in his case it was a little bit different. But you could use that to travel hundreds of miles. I mean, it was really kind of an amazing. And when I read those books, I kept thinking, this is very similar to some of the ancient Egyptian. The Hu would be the aura, or actually more the glory, to bring it into Christian terms. Anyway, I digress, as I do. I do digress. But the idea of this magical self that resides within us at all times is an important idea. I mean, what if there is some magic within all of us? It's our talent. Why can some people play the slide guitar like Ry Cooder? You maybe never heard of Ry Cooder. It's R-Y and then Cooder, C-O-O-D-E-R. He can play a song like the Cherry Ball Blues. One of my favorite pieces. I heard that song in California the year after I graduated from high school on the radio. I happened to record it off the radio, which I used to do. It was right after some song, and it just happened to come on, but they didn't say who it was. So for almost 50 years, 40-some years, I wondered what that song was. And, of course, the tape was long gone, but I remembered the song in my head perfectly because I'd heard it so often and on the tape, and it was just a magnificent song. And then one morning I woke up and said, oh, my God, that's Ry Cooder. I just knew it because I had one album of his and had heard some other music from time to time. I said, it's got to be Ry Cooder. So I just started listening to some. Or I woke up, and I wrote about this in a Power Peak a few years ago when it happened, I found it pretty quickly once I knew who it was. Just something snapped, and that was my magus doing work after all those years. And I found it, but you listen to his talent at this. Why do some people have the ability you know, like George Harrison to play, pick up the sitar, which is considered a very difficult instrument to play. Why does George Harrison, why did he get to learn to play the sitar? Here's a kid from Liverpool who becomes a very well-known and considered to be a very good sitar player. Why? You know, what makes that happen? Why does Fats Waller, Thomas Fats Waller, become one of the best piano players, stride piano players in the world? He kind of invented stride piano to some, or Scott Joplin, or Beethoven, who is deaf, almost completely stone deaf, and is stone deaf when he writes the Ninth Symphony, which is unbelievable. Or what makes a five-year-old Mozart, you know, write symphonies? That's the mattress. Now, not everyone is a genius, but everyone is a genius. You see, that's the key. Not everyone is able to come out with something that obvious. But we've all got that spark within us, that thing that we do. That thing that you and I do. There's something that you do that you know you do. I don't mean to be, you know, weird, but what if it's in the bedroom and you know you can do something, you know, that just drives people crazy? Or what if it's in the kitchen? Or what if it's just in your mind? What if there's something about you that is unique to you and you don't want to show it because it's personal? What if there's something that only you can do that is so important that you don't have to show it? See, there is something very personal about our magus, our magician. Maybe you're a magician like Di Vernon. Di Vernon, who was a Canadian, so he probably wouldn't be, you know, happy with us now, but Di Vernon was a great magician, and he lived to be about 93, 94, I think. What a wonderful... He was one of the best sleight-of-hand magicians, and he did stage magic as well, and he also cheated at cards and that sort of thing. But he was, without a doubt, one of the most brilliant philosophical magicians ever to live. And I mean philosophical in the fact that he kind of said he revolutionized the whole concept of doing magic for people, you know, close-up magic. Because the whole thing was make it look natural. He didn't do fancy flourishes. He could have, because he had the skill. But his whole thing was make it look natural. And if it does, if it looks, you know, magic should look like real magic, but you should look like you can hardly use a deck of cards. You know, you should look like you know what you're doing, but don't do flashy stuff. He really rebelled against that. And because he rebelled against that, there were a couple of fancy moves he would do. But for the most part, when he handled a deck of cards or when he did cups and balls or whatever, it blew people away because he looked like he wasn't doing anything. It looked like it was just magic. Things melted away. They changed into other things. See, that was his magic. There was the ability, and he did tricks that in other people's hands didn't look like anything, but he had the ability to tune into the personalities of other people and astound them. I've had that happen to me. I've had a good magician show me a trick that I actually had read in a magic book, and it fooled me to the point where I was speechless, where I could not. I did that myself to some people. I did a trick once that absolutely fooled the snot out of people. They were literally like, yeah. And it was It was pure accident. I'm not going to get into it. It's not a long story, but it's not germane. Other than the fact that my mattress kicked in. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever felt. There have been times like that. I was on stage once. I did a yo-yo routine once in front of hundreds of people on a stage. And it was a big magic show and beautiful juggling by a group called Air Jazz. And I was the yo-yo guy, and I came on, and I had this incredible yo-yo that had, it was a metal yo-yo with laser discs in the side, and it caught the light beautifully. But this show couldn't have been more perfect. You know, it really was remarkable. And it was on, and it was, and I felt the magic. So there have been times in your life, I'm sure, where something has gone absolutely brilliantly, and that's the magus. That's the magician. It's been with you. It's been inside of you. But here's the key. It's with you all the time. The magus is always with you. All the time. You know, and it's not like you can always call upon it, because things have to be kind of right. You know what I mean? That can be with you if you practice properly. If you become a virtuoso in whatever it is you're doing. If you see someone like Yo-Yo Ma play the cello, well, he's the magus. When he plays that cello, he's the best. He's the best. When you see someone who is a master of what they do, then you're watching the magus at work. People used to get mad at me because I would do readings, and I would do the reading, and then they'd say, oh, I hear you're teaching a tarot class, and I'd say, yes, I am. And they'd say, well, I'm going to sign up for it. I'd say, okay, that's great. Great, wonderful. And I'd do the tarot class, and I'd begin teaching, and I'd start teaching, and after a while, someone would come up to me and say, you are deceitful. And I'd say, why am I deceitful? They'd say, because you make tarot reading look so easy. And I'd say, well, no, I don't. What? They say you make it look so easy. And I'd say, well, I don't try to make it look easy. It's just I've been doing it for most of my life. So I have, you know, it was Mark who first started calling me a tarot master. And in the beginning, I was very uncomfortable with it because it seemed puffed up. You know, it seemed like hoity-toity to me. But I had to finally admit, well, I think I can do it, you know. And I think I've mastered it, the art of, but I never stopped trying to learn. So, yes, I suppose I do make it look easy, but that doesn't mean that I take it for granted ever. Because the magus never does take it for granted. I had a friend who's one of the best sleight of hand men I've ever met either. He's a guy, he's just unbelievable. Very, very talented, but also he's got a unique set of hands, very long thumbs. He could do things no one else ever could. When people came through the Denver metro area, magicians, they would make a point of going to the magic shop where he worked just to see if he could do the tricks he wrote up in his book, because they thought he was full of crap. But they found out he was real. He could do these things. And it was because of his unique long thumbs, you know? So, his name is Lamont. So, and Lamont, like me, life was a mystery to Lamont. I'll be honest with you. Marriages, not so good. I liked his wife, who became his ex-wife. I liked her a lot. But didn't work out. You know, actually, Lamont ended up living with me for many months. That was how I was, you know. But what a brilliant mind for magic. I mean, unbelievably brilliant, and could do things that were, in that world, he was proficient. But the rest of the world, you know. And he was an escape artist, too. He could do all the Houdini escapes, milk can escape, and couldn't keep him in a set of handcuffs. And, you know,
Say, if you ever get arrested, are you going to get out of the handcuffs? He said, I'm not an idiot, you know. So, but the real world was just a complete, you know. But he made it look so easy. And I would try to do some of these tricks, and I'd say, my God, this isn't easy at all. He said, well, no, because he used to practice a trick 5,000 times before he even showed it to me. And I was a close friend of his. 5,000 times. That's what goes into it. And that is also a part of the magus. Because even though the magus is slick, and you see, and that's my problem. I'm not a good liar. The magus lies. We know that. And a professional magician lies constantly because they're storytellers. They're telling you a story, you know. Whenever a magician says, here's an ordinary deck of cards, you're thinking to yourself, why did he say that? See? So, because chances are it probably isn't. Well, it may be, you know, but you really don't know for sure. So there is this concept, what is with us? What do we have within us that we can really use in life? And we have to ask ourselves, what is our greatest asset? Or what is an asset that we have that is strong? You know, I've always had a gift of gab, I'll put it that way. As teachers used to put it, I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle, which my mom thought was real. One teacher put that on a report card, and she wanted to sue the school district, you know. That's another long story. I just told it to you. So I think we have to understand what we're capable of and allow that magician within us, because that table has on it the tools of Tarot, which are the disc, which, by the way, is the charging plate for magic. It's the platen of the church, yes. The chalice, which we know about. I'm not going to get into these things. The censer for fire, and the sword, or the dagger, which is the symbol of air, which is the mind, once again. And then there is, in the Crowley deck, there is a winged egg, which is the symbol of spirit. These are the things, it's the epitome of everything. These are the things that we can use to our benefit if we know how to use them. And all we need to do is try. Don't give up on life. Embrace it and say, what can I do next? What am I going to do next? We always have to be a little bit skeptical, you see. Don't worry about being skeptical, but don't be so critical that you miss out on life itself. I am naive. I'm gullible. I will tell you that right off the bat. But I would rather be innocent in that way than jaundiced to the world. Look at with a jaded eye, like so many people are. I love life. I mean, I look at things and just love life. I love colors. I'm glad I can see them. I'm not going to give up on life, no matter what happens. I refuse to give up on this existence because to me, it is vibrant. That's it. It vibrates. And the world of the magician is a vibration. And you should feel it buzzing within you at all times. Find a way to make music. Whether it's just a tambourine that you drive everyone crazy with. You know, I mean, you have to do it all the time, you know. But get a kazoo. I have things here in my office that literally drive my wife out of her mind if I play with them. I have a harmonica sitting here. I've got a nose flute, another nose flute, another type. I've got a kazoo right there. I've got an end-blown flute called a kaula, or a kawala. It's a kaula.
I've got, shakuhachi over there. I've got all these things, because the making of music to me, or the attempt to make music to me, is part of my path. I like trying to master something and then being able to use it. And that, to me, it's the mastery of it that's important. It isn't necessarily getting there. It's the journey that I enjoy. Does that make sense? That, too, is the biggie to me. It's the fun part to me. That's the magis. Yeah, it's the stretch. It's the stretch. Find your magis. Find something to stretch your energy with. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a hard crossword puzzle or an easy crossword puzzle. Use your mind. You know, embrace the world. There's a lot to do. Okay? All right, my time is up for this week. Love you all. Until next week, peace and love, my friends. Take care of yourself, okay? I love you. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.